The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Welcome to another session of our program, The Clear Criterion. Insha'Allah, we will look at some points of reflection from the Qur'an, and we hope to be inspired by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings of His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Before we continue with the main part of our program, following our routine, I would like to share a point of excellence regarding invoking blessings upon the best in creation, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He himself expressed that wherever you are, send blessings upon me, for it reaches me. So a point of reflection here, dear viewers, is that there are many actions, good actions, or acts of worship, or acts of devotion, where we are required to be in a certain place, or the action is must be done or fulfilled within a certain time frame or a certain part of the day or in a certain or on certain days. Salawat, or invoking blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Allah has made it so easy for us to attain reward and fulfill this beautiful action wherever we are in the world. We can just take a break from what we're doing and focus, express the best words that we know to express this prayer of blessing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praise the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, express this dua of blessings and peace for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not because he needs our prayers, but rather because we have been instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this beautiful deed, and in doing so, we attain blessings for ourselves. Our name is mentioned in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. People want to be remembered in the greatest circles. We as individuals feel pride when we are remembered by those who have authority in this world, or those who have fame and acclaim in this world. There is no comparison. Being remembered in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Just imagine when the angel brings this news, the angel as a servant of the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and as unworthy as we are, our names mentioned in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It is such good fortune for the believer. It is an honor, a privilege. Not something that we might deserve, but something we have been given out of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us not waste the moments that we have in life, the valuable, priceless moments that we have in life. Let us spend some of those moments in this great deed of invoking blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In our last session, we mentioned verse 87 of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed that Prophet Musa alayhi salam was given the book, the Torah, and how messengers after Prophet Musa alayhi salam came in succession. We mentioned how, according to the Mufassirun, 4,000 were mentioned in number who succeeded, who came after Prophet Musa alayhi salam, but they upheld the teachings of the Torah, the teachings of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And then Prophet Isa alayhi salam was mentioned, that he was sent with signs, with clear signs. What were those clear signs? Inshallah, we will mention that shortly. And also he was helped by, aided by the sacred spirit, the Holy Spirit, the angel, Archangel Jibreel alayhi salam. What was meant by this, inshallah, we'll explain shortly. And in that verse, it also mentioned that the attitude of some of the Israelites was such that they would follow as they desired. So if a prophet came to them and they didn't like him, they would express arrogance towards him. And in the extreme case, at times they martyred prophets, the likes of Prophet Zechariah and Sayyidina Yahya alayhim assalam. They were martyred by the Israelites. So a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us look at some of the points that were mentioned in the verse and in light of commentary. So after Prophet Musa alayhi salam was given the book, Allah mentioned how prophets came in succession. So these prophets were preserving or upholding the law, the laws or teachings of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. For our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his teachings were preserved by the scholarly folk after his time, first and foremost the Sahaba, and then those who followed the companions, and then those who followed them, and then generation after generation of scholarship, an oral tradition of unbroken scholarship, unbroken chain of scholarship. This is the protection or part of the preservation of the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And part of this was the whole science of hadith and usulul hadith, the categorization of hadith, the biographies of reporters, the tireless efforts of the hadith scholars, how they went from country to country, city to city, compiled all this information, verified information, cross-checked narrations, reports, claims, identified people who were reporting the most authentic reports, also identifying those who did not have such authenticity in what they reported. This whole structure is very unique in the Islamic tradition. We can honestly say that no other religious tradition, written religious tradition, has such a detailed oral tradition, a recorded oral tradition in terms of hadith. The way our hadith is categorized and the detail, the level of detail in terms of the characteristics that were specified by the hadith scholars, which characteristics should a reporter have for him to be thiqah, for him to be the most upright, what is acceptable, what is doubtful, all these details that we find in the books of the science of hadith. If someone truly approached this subject as an academic, that individual would be overwhelmed by the level of precision and the level of detail found in the history of hadith. And this is something for us as believers to be proud of, but not just to be proud of. We benefit from this work of the hadith scholars. We follow the teachings and explanations of the ulama, and we hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam spoke as an inspiration from revelation, from divine revelation, he communicated as an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following his teachings is our salvation. Coming back to this point, the prophets who came after Prophet Musa alayhi salam, they were preserving his tradition. In this religion, the ulama now who come after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they are part of preserving, explaining, protecting the laws or the true teachings of the Sharia. Coming on to or moving on to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, who was mentioned in this verse, Allah mentioned that he was sent with signs, clear signs, and those clear signs were the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him. Some of them are mentioned later in the Quran, explicitly mentioned in the Quran. What were the famous miracles of Prophet Isa alayhi salam? That he would resurrect the dead with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had given him the ability to resurrect the dead. This was a miracle of his, and it was a sign for the people of that time that he is a prophet of Allah, and this is one of his miraculous signs. Another sign that he had was that he would, people who were blind, he would cure the blind. They would see again. And lepers were healed from their condition. He would take he would make the mold or form of a bird and blow it, and it would begin to fly. So these were signs Prophet Isa alayhi salam was sent with. another reminder that Allah chooses His creation, and the best of His creation is given the most miraculous miracles as a sign of calling towards the truth. But they are miracles because they are manifested from those who have the best conduct and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just about showing something miraculous. The miracle comes from a pure soul. And this is the difference, because there are others who can do things that are unconventional or even extraordinary to the eye, but they themselves may not be people of truth, may not be people of purity or virtue. The difference between the saints and the prophets and these people is that the saints and prophets are those who walk upon the path of truth, who uphold the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as an extra element of their preaching or their blessing, Allah gives them the prophets' miracles, prophetic miracles, mu'jizat, and the awliya are given saintly miracles or karamat. So also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Prophet Isa alayhi salam that he was aided by Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam. So Allah sent the Archangel Jibreel alayhi salam to help Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and the Mufassirun explained that Jibreel alayhi salam would stay with Prophet Isa alayhi salam. He was always with him until he ascended to the heavens. So this was a quite a unique point of excellence given to whom? Given to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. What point of excellence, or which point of excellence? That Jibreel alayhi salam helped him and was his helper and stayed with him. Now, through our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted some of the followers of the Prophet such a blessing. And the most famous example which comes to mind was the famous poet companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyiduna Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an, whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed to stand upon the minbar and recite poetry in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then blessed him with a dua. What was the dua? Allahumma ayyidhu bi ruhil qudus. Oh Allah, help him through the Sacred Spirit. Help him through Jibreel alayhi salam. So one who praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam received this point of excellence that Jibreel alayhi salam became his helper. Isn't this something that highlights the excellence of praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And on that point, on that note, the ulama also mention a very beautiful point about this. They say that you will not find examples in hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a point of an action or recital in such a way that he told a companion to stand up on the minbar and recite something. This was something unique to the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they give an explanation for this, because no one would doubt that the Quran is the best word. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no greater word than that. No one would doubt it. But if anyone had any doubts about the importance, the virtue of praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this doubt was removed through this action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he told his companion, not only gave him permission to express praise openly and publicly, but made him stand upon the minbar and do so. Does anyone need any more instruction or any more encouragement or any more clarification about the importance or the virtue or the excellence of praising the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And even if we did not have this example, the Quran is full of the praise of the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His name evokes praise, meanings of praise. He is Ahmad, he is the most praised. He is praised and beloved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the people choose to attain blessings through his praise or not. That is their fate. But those who praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point which comes to mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how Jibreel alayhi salam helped Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So this whole idea of seeking help from other than Allah or someone other than Allah helping is also addressed or answered in this verse, that the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His permission or with His instruction, help each other, aid each other, and there is no negative element about this in the religion. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the source of help for his companions and is the source of help for his nation. Even after he has veiled himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to give one example from the time of Imam Tabarani and the great Muhaddis Ibn al-Muqri and Imam Abu Shaykh were at the rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as mentioned in Wafa al-Wafa. So Imam Tabarani is there with his two companion muhaddith companions with him, and they are hunger, such a high level of zuhud these hadith scholars had. They had such a level of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that often they were in a state where they did not have enough money to buy food for themselves. So it was one of those situations in which Imam Tabarani and his companions are hunger, severely hungry, and they express this a request in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They bring this, they express their condition before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his blessed resting place at the blessed rawda. And not long after, an Alawi man approaches them. He brings food and he reveals that I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. And he revealed that you had expressed a request, and I am here to deliver this food on the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So even after the Prophet's time sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the ummah continues to benefit from him. And in this case, it was Imam Tabarani and his companions who were blessed with the help of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through that Alawi man. We have, our ulama have written about this subject, Shaykh Nuruddin Ali bin Ahmed in his famous Wafa al-Wafa bi Ikhbari Dar al-Mustafa. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another claim or another comment of the Jews when he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ, and the Jews said, our hearts are veiled. بَلْ لَعْنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Rather, Allah placed curse upon them due to their disbelief, so only a few of them embrace faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered this point, this comment, which was out of jest. The Jews expressed that, oh, the teachings of the Prophet cannot reach our hearts because our hearts are veiled. We have a veil over our hearts, and for this reason, whatever the Prophet, the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, oh, our hearts do not have the capacity to accept this. This was rejected, or this was answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a reminder was established that hearts have the capacity to accept the truth in their natural state. When a human being is created, it is the human heart has the capacity to accept truth. It is then the decision and the ultimately the choices of that individual that determine whether he chooses to accept the truth or ignore the truth. And when people do not accept the truth, it is a state of deprivation for them, a personal deprivation. So this was a reminder that it was not a case, it was not as the Jews had expressed. Rather, this comment was meaningless, it was a pointless comment, and it had no truth whatsoever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعْهُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And when that book of Allah came to them confirming that which they have, and prior to this, they would seek victory over the disbelievers through this prophet. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So when that prophet whom they recognized came to them, they disbelieved in him. So may the curse of Allah be upon those who deny. This verse is a reminder that the Quran confirms the texts of the past, the scriptures of the past. This is the beautiful thing about the religion of Islam, that Islam acknowledges the times of previous prophets, the teachings and scriptures of previous prophets. It maintains the guidance element that was originally found in those books before those books were affected by fabrications in their original form. The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which confirms the truth of those scriptures, and it should be understood and accepted as such. This reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was also a reminder particularly for the Jewish community, where Allah reminded them that through the Torah and their scriptures, they knew about the final prophet. Not only did they know about the final prophet, the forefathers of this community, when they would go into battle against disbelievers, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for victory through or with the blessing of the final prophet. Yes, they would express the wasila of the final prophet. They would mention him as an intermediary for the sake of the final prophet, the prophet who will arrive. Let us be victorious, or grant us victory. And the Mufassirun mentioned that their supplications would include words or expressions like Allahumma aftah alayna wansurna bin nabiyil ummi, that O Allah, grant us opening or victory by virtue of or due to the blessings of the Nabi Ummi, the final prophet, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is referred to as Ummi, as he was not taught by anyone, by any man. He was not formally taught or he was not schooled in any way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taught only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was called upon, or his name was mentioned by the Jews in the past as part of a supplication for victory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding them that this was what you were doing in the past. How can you deny him now that he has come? This was a point to make them reflect or realize that they were in the wrong in rejecting or denying the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
بِئْسَ مَا اشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بَغْيًا أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِن فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ.
How evil is that for which they sold their souls, rejecting what Allah sent down, resentful that Allah with His grace sends down revelation upon whomsoever He wills among His chosen people. فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَىٰ غَضَبٍ. So these people became deserving of wrath upon wrath. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And there is humiliating punishment for the disbelievers. This was a reminder, or this was a statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Jews in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, despite knowing the truth, they did not accept the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and they ultimately sold their souls. They rejected what Allah sent down upon His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and due to this rejection, due to this denial of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was out of resentment and hasad, jealousy, some of them could not accept the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from a different lineage. did not come from the lineage that they want. Some of them, due to losing power and influence or the danger of losing power and influence, they developed a resentment in their hearts, a kind of hostility towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And because of this, they faced wrath after wrath. Jealousy or hasad is when one desires that a blessing which was given to another is taken from the other and given to him. So it's not a case of envying someone where you say, oh, I wish I have what that other person has. This hasad is when you want that thing to be taken away from the other. Taken away from the other and given to you, so that person is left without that blessing. And it's an evil trait, a disease of the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in Sunan Nasa'i, he said that faith and jealousy cannot combine within an individual, obviously within the heart of a believer or a believer himself. He would not have both of these traits if he's true in his belief. So if we have any feeling of jealousy towards anyone, we should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray Allah protects the blessing given to the brother, and Allah grant us the ability to attain it through His grace, through His mercy. Not seek downfall or seek deprivation for anyone else. We should seek khair for ourselves and khair for our brothers and sisters, khair for humankind. This is why for humankind, generally speaking, we pray for them. And the final point that I would like to make, how did they face wrath? According to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, this community faced wrath because they rejected the teachings of the Torah, or they fabricated some elements of the Torah, and they were punished because of that. And the second punishment, or the second reason for being punished, was due to rejecting the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they became deserving of punishment because of these two reasons. One other interpretation is that first they rejected the Injil, which was revealed to the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, so they rejected the Holy Scripture after them, after the Torah, and then they rejected the teachings of the Quran brought by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it was wrath after wrath due to these denials, both of these denials. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to be steadfast upon the truth. May Allah protect us from the calamities of this world and the hereafter. Ameen bijahi nabi alameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.